Well, we are moving along. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 145. The Hebrew letter kind of sounds like the word cough a little bit. I'm sure that my accent is not very good on that letter, but that's it there. And I like the Bibles that have the symbols sometimes next to the words there to show you what symbol it is there in the Hebrew language. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Psalm 119, look at verse 145. Let's read these eight verses together through verse 152. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I do hope that your desire and your love for the Word of God has been helped by these messages over the last year and almost 3 months. I guess kind of today, this is the 27th, this is the end of February, so all of December, all of January, all of February, so yeah. A year and 3 months, we've been going over the wonderful Word of God. I think I maybe that first Wednesday night that I was the pastor. I think I made reference to this in beginning, and then or maybe it was the first Sunday night. I can't remember. It's been a year, right? I do hope that the Word of God is more special to you than it has been before. That is the endeavor, that is the goal of this study. Well, we did have a nice, happy several weeks with Zaddai, the verses 137 through 144. And now we're getting back into kind of a little bit more of a sobering or sombering type of presentation. Keep in mind, the Christian life is not all mountaintops. It's not. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I would be wrong to sit here and tell you that the Christian life is easy and no difficulties and no struggles and no hardships and no hard times are going to happen to you. That there'll be no tears and no times of sorrow and no times of calling out to God and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because it's just not that way. And if you will, that's just not realistic. Because can I tell you something? The human nature is very real. The curse of sin is very real. The frailty of our flesh is very real. It's just something that we're going to go through. I can think of many people that have been affected by things, especially these past couple of years. But you know what? Just recently, I'm thinking of my brother and sister-in-law and the tears that they have shed over the last couple of days. And if you don't know, my brother, they had a pretty rough accident, and their five-year-old son is in the hospital, and they're trying to see if he'll wake up from brain surgery. And you know, I'm sure there's been some tears and some crying out to God, and. Many of people that I know, families and friends, are praying for that situation. But, you know, life throws some difficult things. And sometimes we wonder what God is doing. We wonder if he hears us. We wonder if he's going to come to our aid and to our rescue. So these things are very real. But that's what's wonderful about the Word of God, is the Word of God provides us with that hope. Provides us with that confidence. Provides us with enough information that we can hang on to a real God who really does care, who really is there, who really does watch over us, and who's orchestrated all these things for the best, whether we feel like they're the best or not. You see, God does love us. If you will, God does hear us. God does know. You know what? Nothing has ever surprised God. Can I tell you a little secret? When God was there and he called out the light and the darkness and the land and the seas and formed the fowls of the air and the fishes of the sea and the beasts of the field and the creeping things and the plants and all that stuff that was formed. He formed man, dust of the ground, and breathed into him the breath of life. He took a rib out of the man and formed a helpmeet for him. And after that 6 day, looking around, that everything was very good. That is, can I tell you something? When man was given a mandate in Genesis 2, a choice, if you will, God knew what that choice was going to result in. He was not surprised. He was not surprised that the serpent beguiled Eve and she chose to take of the fruit and brought it to her husband and he chose to take and eat of it. And when he came in the cool of the day to walk and talk with man, he knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what had happened. And can I say, just as God knew all of that, God knows about your life and your circumstances and your difficulties. And maybe if you don't have any right now, he knows which ones are going to be coming and how you're going to respond to them even. Well, that makes me feel good because God knows. It ought to make you feel that way. But see, we have that from the Word of God. We have those examples and we have the testimony of God right here in our very hands. So let's look at these verses tonight. The first three in this section, verses 145, 146, and 147. We're going to get to this word cried at the end. Okay, so let's slice that out and just kind of set it aside for just a moment. But he says, I cried with my whole heart. What does that kind of signify for you? Do you think he was invested in this request? Do you think that he really meant it when he was talking to God and crying out to God? He said, with my whole heart. Well, okay, that was his state of mind and in his state of investment. He said, I cried with my whole heart. What? What did you cry out, David? And again, this is not sob, sob, tears, tears, right? No, this is calling out. Well, he simply said, hear me, O Lord. Do you want God to hear you? You want God to be at... I don't even want to say that. I was going to say you're beck and call, but God's not. You don't ring a bell and God comes running to you. But do you want God to be there when you cry out? Do you want him to hear your words? In your distress, in your difficulties, in your moments? As maybe you, like David, have times where you cry out with your whole heart? Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. Why did David put that into words like that as he cried out with his whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. In Psalm 4, David said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of my countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know, there's something about our uprightness and righteousness and God hearing our cry. You know, what's it going to take? You think that God will just let you treat him however you want to treat him, and then he'll just kind of hear and answer your prayers? I think some people think that. Hey, I'm going to live my life how I want to. I'm going to do whatever I want. And whenever I stumble and fall and get in a pickle, I'll just turn and God will be there for me. Ought we to treat God that way? Should we really expect that? Now, listen, he may decide to answer our prayers. That's his prerogative. He's a sovereign God and he can do what he wants to do, all right? He can be merciful. He can show kindnesses and grace and mercy to us if he chooses. But should we really expect him to hear us if we don't treat him right? I mean, just think of what David linked this to. He said, with my whole heart, I get that. He was all in, invested in this. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. He put a qualifier on it. He said, God, I'm going to be upright in my dealings with you. I'm going to keep your statutes. Hear me. God loves the righteous. He loves the upright. He loves those that consider him and his ways. In Psalm 17, David says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. In other words, he said, I'm not faking it here. I'm not pretending. I'm not pretending to be right with you and pretending to be religious and pretending to be good, and I'm really not. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. He had a bit of a purity and righteousness about him. He said, hear my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. You know, God knows us. Remember what he told Samuel? That God doesn't look on the outside, he looks on the inside. God looks on the heart. That's why he rejected all of David's brothers and accepted David as king. Because he knew. He knew this man. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that with my mouth, that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey. And as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, and they are full of children. Leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I don't know that it's fair for us to treat God that way, to live a different way according to his word and to his path, and then expect God to hear us when we cry out to him. You say, but Pastor, God said he'd forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, he did. But I kind of like the attitude that Paul takes about it in Romans and says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Hey, folks, listen. I've read several different things about stuff in our world today. And, you know, good works and clean living and following God's principles and commandments in Scripture, it's not a way to salvation. But it's because we're saved. We should walk in them. You don't have to. I mean, I'm sorry. And some of you may be offended by this. I guess maybe I just got a little burr under my saddle tonight. I'm tired of these people that are Reformed Independent Baptists. They've been freed from all the dress standards and all the standards of separation and all this nonsense. What do you mean? These aren't things you have to do. These aren't things that make you an independent Baptist because you dress right, or you wear a dress, or you wear a skirt, or you wear pants, or you do things. Really? You really think that? That just bothers me. I don't like that. Because our God is much more than that. And he's given us this book. I didn't write this. Independent Baptist before me didn't write this thing. God gave it to us. It's his word. It's his way. It's his path. And we ought to do our best. David said, hey, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I mean, how do you deny things like this? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You know, that was conditional. Hey, if you'll walk in my ways and seek me and want to please me with your life, I'll hear you. I'll respond to you. I'll deliver you. I don't know how it gets any better than that. God wants us just to serve him and to follow him. And again, not because, well, I'm an independent Baptist, so I have to do this stuff. No, I guess I'm just full of that stuff. I just want to be a good Christian. I just want to serve God. I just want to follow his paths. They're better than my ways. They're better than my thoughts. Listen, I try to be a good pastor. I try to be a good Christian. But we ought to just follow the Lord because we love him. Follow his commandments. Try not to walk in the flesh, because walking in the flesh is death. It's enmity against God. Walking in the Spirit's the way to go. Living according to biblical principles is what's right and true. I cried unto thee, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Look at verse 146. David says again, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep
thy testimonies.
Now, in this particular sense, he's not talking about salvation spiritually. He's talking about deliverance from physical difficulties. Save me, God. These guys are attacking me. They're trying to kill me. They're against me. There's enemies out there that are after my life because I'm a believer in Christ. Because I'm following God. Because I'm trying to live a godly life. Because I'm keeping your testimonies and your statutes. I'm being oppressed by these enemies. And they're really not just enemies of David. They're enemies of God. You know, someone recently, I was talking with them about something, and they were talking about how people were kind of against them because they were trying to pray and they were trying to turn their life around and they were trying to follow after God, and they were being mocked and they were being oppressed because of that. And I just reminded them, hey, they don't hate you. Their hatred's not toward you. It's really toward God. Because they don't love God. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. They're opposed to Him by the natural distinction that is because of our sin and sin nature. Save me. Deliver me. Who is our deliverer but God? He is. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do you have that confidence? And let's listen to this. Those that may have a true salvation experience, but a casual relationship with God, are you going to have that confidence in God? Maybe. Maybe not. Obviously, if you don't have a true salvation experience, you're not going to really know God and what He can and can't do as your deliverer, because you've never been born again. But those that do, and they perhaps kind of stay on the fringes and the outskirts of the Christian life, can you really know and have experienced the deliverance of God Almighty? If you don't know Him, if you don't walk with Him and talk with Him and wait upon Him and meditate in His Word and be filled with the Spirit of God and be walking in the Spirit and all the things that the Scriptures talk to us about in the Christian life, I cried unto Thee, save me, and I shall keep Thy testimonies. At this particular point in time in physical history, David had experienced the salvation of his God many, many times. He was close to God. He spent lots of time with God. And if you will, he had a pure heart toward God. He instructed Solomon to wholly follow the Lord with all his heart. Solomon did for a portion of time, but then, unfortunately, his wives turned away his heart from the Lord God unto other gods. Is God our deliverer? Do we really know and have we experienced His deliverance in our lives? In Psalm chapter 7, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read all 17 verses of it. So if you'd like to follow along, you can. Otherwise, just listen. O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just for the righteous. God trieth, for the righteous God trieth the heart and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. When you cry out, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. In Psalm 71, David said this, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. I just wonder if maybe these testimonies in Scripture are stirring your heart about your relationship with the Lord. And more than that, your relationship with His Word. How close are you to Him? Doesn't not the Bible tell us to draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to us? Shouldn't we endeavor in our lives to be closer and closer to the Lord than we were before? Now we'll get to this part of crying. To call importunately. To utter with a loud voice. By way of earnest request of prayer. In verse 147, David says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. You see, this was not a thing of sorrow and despair, perhaps, but rather a call out to God in whom he had great hope and trust and surety that God would hear him. That God would save him. Because he hoped in his word. Is God true? Is God able to save? And I guess my main thought of these three verses is, are we in a position to be saved? Again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being delivered. Doesn't it rightly say in the New Testament about if we suffer because we deserve it and because of our own sin, that's just what we should suffer for? But if we suffer for righteousness' sake, if we suffer for the cause of Christ, we ought to count it a joy. We suffer for those things. I just wonder how earnest we are. Does it not say that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? See, are you saying that you have to be right with God for God to hear you? Well, like I said before, I'm not saying you have to be, but it sure does help. Or if you will, why not?
How earnest are you in your requests?
We spent the month of, I believe, if my brain is working right, I think it was the month of November. We talked about prayer on Sundays, did we not?
Now I'm testing your memory. I think it was.
I like themes and goals and that kind of thing. It kind of just works with my disorganized self. But how sincere are we? Or have we not really gotten to the point where we really need to hear from God? Where we really need to cry out and say, God, save me. Are we self-sufficient? Are we doing okay on our own? Are things not that bad? You see where I'm going with this? What's it going to take? You see, the children of Israel had a kind of a problem, didn't they? Remember in Exodus chapter 2? This is the beginning of the story of Moses and all this stuff that's going on, right? Everybody likes that. The Nile and the little baby being put in there and found by the princess, and everybody's happy. Grows up in the king's house. You like that Bible story, don't you? Did you figure what happened before? As Joseph is going through these things and God is kind of orchestrating things in his life, bringing them down to Egypt, if you will, and putting them in that position. And now the end of the book of Genesis, that things start turning a little sour. So then it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. In Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Do you feel that way? Do you have that kind of relationship with God on a continual basis? Did you hear what he said? He said that it was continual. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In 1 Chronicles 16, the people of Israel told, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. Jeremiah, the Bible tells us, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In the New Testament, we're told to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As the old hymn says, do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you know him intimately? Does he tell you that you're his own? The joy you share as you tarry there? That song in the garden is such a beautiful hymn. Is that your walk with the Lord? Is that your life? Hey, listen, I'm thinking because of these three verses here that David was pretty close to the Lord. Have you ever prevented the dawning of the morning? And cried, I hoped in thy word. I just sense the sincerity here. The connection that he has with God. He said in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart.
In verse 146, I cried unto thee. In verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. Again, these are not tears. This is not sorrow. This is calling out to God in His importunity and uttering with a loud voice and an earnest request of prayer. He's even attaching things like, hey, I will keep thy statutes and I shall keep thy testimonies and I hoped in thy word. What passion. What sincerity? What connection with God? Does He hear your prayers? Does He know you exist? I say that tongue in cheek, because of course He does. But I'm talking about how close is that relationship that you have with the Lord? How is it really? Is it casual? Or is it intimate? Is it close? It ought to be close. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Make haste. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. And as you do, I'll read to you a little story. I hate to call them stories. An account out of Acts 16. Remember this? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And sang praises unto God. Well, that's great, Brother Combs. I mean, God's people ought to sing praises unto God at midnight. Yeah, but how about stuck in the stocks in the middle of the prison? Who's singing then? The crazy Bible people, that's who. Yeah, those church people. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Why were Paul and Silas singing praises to God at midnight? Beaten? Entrenched in the middle of the prison? And I've done a little study on those prisons. It was not a nice place in the inner prison. Kind of like bug and rat infested, nasty water, sitting in water probably, more than likely. The filth and the... Yeah. Not a nice place. Certainly not a place you'd think about singing praises to God. But yet they were. They were in that state of mind. Hey, you know what? I don't know. Maybe Paul and Silas kind of thought about David here in Psalm 119, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning. Hey, they were up at midnight, singing praises to God, and cried, I hoped in thy word. Hey, there in 1 Thessalonians 3, look at verse 7. Therefore, brethren, We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. They were comforted by someone else's faith. That's great. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and towards all men, even as we do toward you. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Can I just say that God knows our circumstances? Do you have a desire to get closer to him? To really know him? So that you can truly say like David did, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Is it real to you? Is it close and near and dear to your heart, this thing? I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Yes, God hears us. Yes, God can and will deliver us oftentimes. Are we willing to cry out to him? Do we think it'll do any good? Do we wonder, man, maybe I've not been sincere. Maybe I've not walked with God like I should. And well, if I really have a trouble, will God really hear me? We ought to know that he will. Because we have kept his statutes. And we have kept his testimonies. And we have hoped in his word. It's about relationship. Hey, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to be close to us. He wants to have a relationship with you. Will you seek his face continually? Will you meditate in his word continually? Will you rest in his refuge and his shelter continually? Just a thought. As you read through scripture, kind of try to sense out these things that these individuals that are writing these things are going through. They were human too, you know. They had frailties and difficulties too. Just like we do. But God is faithful. God will hear us. He will save us. His word can be trusted. You can hope in it. Keep his statutes. Keep his testimonies. And be close to God.